The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. Running her mouth, she wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it, I'm cool as ever, she's too excited, her man look like he wanna fight, he ain't doing nothing but running his mouth, talk about it, we all about it, they making plans, we sit and count, our chair is stacking just like a mountain, you heard. I think we should call it running her mouth, the she curious wants to ride case. It, she's trying to hide it, I'm cool as ever, she's the curious case of the trade deadline in Green Bay.
So, I think we all saw the writing on the wall. I think we all saw what was likely going to happen here. Gabe, you had said based on past performance, past outcomes, you didn't think that the Packers would go out and get anyone. Did you expect them to dump someone at the trade deadline yesterday for the second year in a row?
I wasn't necessarily expecting it, but I wasn't surprised when it happened. I mean, this is something we've been talking about for a while when it came to Preston Smith. And as Goody said it by himself, you know, sometimes these conversations start 5-6 weeks ago. So clearly the whispers of, oh, maybe they move on from Preston Smith were coming from somewhere. Turns out the call was coming from inside the house. They decided to move on from Preston Smith, which...
Why? Why? For a seventh-round pick? What's the percentage of seventh-round picks that pan out?
Very low percentage. That was
5%? Might as well got some Gatorade instead of a seventh-round pick. And he has as many sacks as Rashawn Gary.
Yep.
Just let's throw that out there.
Yep. That is correct.
I just don't understand the move. I mean, I was fine with them not doing anything, but actually getting... I'm just amazed on how they devalue the locker room. Or maybe they think the locker room is strong enough, but I just think it was a foolish move.
Well, I mean, you're definitely worse today than you were yesterday.
Really?
Yeah. Well, how can you? You're not better.
Well, no, but if they think that Preston Smith was an aging player that sure. they needed to get out from under, and again, I keep seeing people say hashtag money. This was sort of a salary dump-esque move. You don't think they were going to bring him back next season?
Probably not.
So I guess Goody is looking at it like better get something for him than nothing for him.
Sure, but like to make your team a little bit worse, and you can't tell me that. Oh yeah, the young guys are just going to step up. So
that's a bunch of
so
crap.
The coaches then who have played, he has played the second most snaps at defensive end for this team behind Rashawn Gary. So the coaching staff feels that he's their second-best defensive end. I can, by their actions, that is a logical jump to make, right? So if they feel he's the second-best defensive end, you're a worse team today. Maybe it's not appreciably worse, but you're not a better team. And if this means you are a worse team today than you were yesterday. It doesn't mean you still can't accomplish goals, but you're worse today than you were yesterday.
Sure. What was worse, Rasul or this one?
Well, I'm glad you bring that up, Chu, because I guess based on Gabe's position, they also got worse last year at the trade deadline, right?
1,000%.
By dealing Rasul.
100%.
And he obviously performed pretty well for the Buffalo Bills. We don't know how Preston is going to perform for the Steelers. TBD, as they say. But that's interesting that you can, and I don't think that you can get a lot of argument, to be perfectly honest with you, given what they got for Preston, the seventh round pick. I don't think that there's a lot of teams out there that are trying to, quote unquote, get worse at the trade deadline. We have talked about how we have seen this evolution of the league where teams are using the trade deadline as an opportunity to get better. And if you go down the list, and I don't have a comprehensive list in front of me, Chu, but I bet you if we went down the list of teams that acquired players at the trade deadline, mm-hmm. even going back as far as like a week and a half ago and things like that, I bet you they're all contenders. I bet you they're all up there on their side of the ledger, NFC and AFC, and they are pushing towards a championship. Can the Packers say that this morning?
No. No.
No. I mean, you can kind of get Rasul, even though he might regret it now because
they need corners
is an issue. But you got a third round pick is pretty good pick. Yeah, that's I mean, you were a solid pick. That's
you were
good
3-6, Chew, right? You were 3-6. It's not like they were playing great at this point last year. They really didn't even take off until after Thanksgiving when they won those games against Detroit and Kansas City back-to-back. So, yeah, I can, like, last year it made sense being sellers. Like, it made sense for the Cleveland Browns to trade away Za'Darius Smith, right? Like, they're sellers. Like, you, the rest of the season doesn't necessarily matter in terms of how good you are. Like, you, I can make that one make sense. This one, I have a harder time making sense of because you didn't then make a secondary move that made you better.
Is this the worst position on the team? The D-line.
Yes.
Well, from a production standpoint, right? I think we've gone over that mm-hmm. a number of times.
Yeah. So you got rid of, even though he's a guy,
yep.
you got rid of a guy. Like, I would have been more comfortable them trading a linebacker because it seems like they got some players over there and a little more depth.
But I also think that they are hoping that that can be a position of strength for once in, well, my lifetime.
What, since Ray Nitschke was roaming the field? It's the last time the linebacker group was a strength.
I'm just saying, I think they're looking around going, we finally have nailed and we finally have landed on some decent players at that position. So they're like, we're not getting rid of them now. They're making up for it. Basically what I'm saying to you is they're making up for, with this linebacking core, all of the generations before where it was, you know. I do want to hear from Brian.
I was going to say that, you know what would make this linebacker group even better?
A good defensive line.
If they had a decent defensive line in front of them, they'd shine even more. They'd be like Tampa Bay, you know, the year they came in and beat us at home with Brady, with White and who's another. They had a couple really, really good linebackers. And then look at San Francisco.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So I don't know. I don't know where they go from here with the defensive line because I think I know what Van Ness is. I think I know what Gary is. And running it back is just – it's foolish.
So, Chu, what I'm hearing from you, and this is really interesting stuff this morning, as Gabe is saying, the Green Bay Packers actually got worse yesterday. How much worse? Well, that's to be determined. But he's saying that there at least is some incremental worsening of the roster after yesterday's trade deadline. And, Chewy, you are saying, like, hear what they're saying. When someone shows you who they are, believe them. You're saying you don't think Goody thinks they're going to win a championship this year.
No, I think he's. I think Goody believes that, like I said yesterday, there are ping pong balls in the clear thing in the lottery. I think he has. I think he believes he has maybe three, you know, and then next year he may have seven or eight. But he's not going to have seven or eight rolling it back with this defensive line. He's just not. I mean, none of them are playing. Kenny Clark, he's getting paid like an A player, right?
That's correct. Yes, sir.
Rashawn Gary, A player, and they're playing like C players, you know?
Yeah,
And this is such – if I was to rank the positions, I would go quarterback, cornerback, D-line, receiver.
In terms of NFL in order of importance.
If you look at the good teams, receiver might be three, but D-line certainly four because you need guys that can score. And it's just – it's an anchor is what it is. It's an anchor that's going to hold you down. And it's – I don't know. I just don't know how he's going to address it, Jen, because the only way to address it under Goody's is to draft a guy with the 28th or 26th pick, and whether he pans out – we have no idea.
Right, and Gabe was talking this week about how that's crapshoot, right? Like some of the best DNs in the league are, what, Gabe, top 10?
Yeah, top half of the first round.
So the Packers are sort of on the outside looking in. Could they, of course, move up to get into that area in the draft? Of course. Now we're looking way, way, way ahead to April, the end of April, and the NFL draft, which will, of course, be held in Green Bay. Let's hear from Brian Gutekunst yesterday when asked about how he came to this decision to trade away Preston Smith and, because it doesn't exist in a vacuum, guys, and not go out and get anybody either.
Goody, I want to try and help fans understand, like, last year you're 3-6 mm-hmm. and you trade with Sewell. But you're probably not thinking at that moment, hey, we've got a team that could be winning the Super Bowl. Now you feel like you have a championship team, and even if Preston's snaps weren't going to be as many, there's probably still value to him. So what's the, when you have your team in the position it is there a risk of moving on from an older player, or is it, again, the young man's game conversation?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's no different than last year. I think there were some players we wanted to see. I think that, you know, the trend of how the snaps were going was only going to continue that way. So, you know, I think it's, again, it wasn't something that we set out to do. It wasn't something that we called a bunch of teams saying, hey, are you interested in Preston Smith? Because we know his value. But when the opportunity came and we got the phone call, we just thought it made sense for us for what we're trying to do. And again, I think he's going to a very good situation with a playoff caliber team and a really good organization. So that always, for my end of it, does help a little bit, especially with a guy who's given to us what Preston has given to us.
Well, at least he gets to go somewhere fun.
Hey, I mean, okay, what does he mean by what they're trying to do? What are they trying to do?
Give Brenton Cox more
Super Bowl
snaps.
Sure.
Wait,
cool.
You're going to have to repeat that in slower. What did you just say?
Trying to get some more snaps for Brenton Cox.
Get Brenton Cox more snaps.
I heard the Cox part. I want to be clear on what I
oh,
heard.
Oh, I know you heard that
I'm just not sure what you were saying surrounding that part of the sentence.
Get Brenton Cox more snaps.
So who got better in the NFC?
Oh,
Detroit?
That. Detroit got better. I mean, if you're, again,
Washington?
Washington got better. Minnesota got better.
Washington got Lattimore, didn't they, yesterday?
Yeah.
Lattimore, yeah. Mm-hmm. Did Philly get anybody?
No. I don't believe
okay.
so.
So three NFC teams got better. Who are...
Yeah, well, so the Niners ahead. The Niners traded for a defensive tackle.
The Cardinals added a defensive end.
Mm-hmm. Trying to think who else. Obviously, Commanders and Lattimore.
I mean, the Giants said they were not parting with that.
Tried to get him for a fourth round was the rumor.
Packers?
No, that was the rumor of what the Giants wanted to trade for.
Oh.
So when it came down to Preston Smith, because I don't believe the young guys getting better with more snaps. I think that's a bunch of crap. Do you think it was a money thing, or do you think it was actually, I can do something with a seventh round pick?
Probably both.
Kind of seems like a money thing.
But I also think that Goody loves his picks.
Sure, but like even he knows, like a seventh round pick, might you hit? Sure, but it's less than, yeah, it's what? Okay, I've got one pick in my back pocket. Maybe that player turns into something. Like for every Donald Driver out there, there's a Cameron Pratt, right?
Which is going to be a seventh round
yes.
pick, but maybe 26th or 27th in the seventh round.
It'll be a later seventh-round pick because, yeah, the Steelers are expected to be a playoff team. So, yeah, it's not like it's going to be a top-end seventh-round pick.
Couldn't they have just cut him?
At the end of the season, they could have if we're talking about adding, you know, saving the money.
So he must value that seventh-round pick in some way because otherwise why wouldn't you just keep a veteran, a leader, who, Gabe, you said 54% of the snaps at
yep.
this point, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he must... think that seventh round pick is valuable because otherwise why wouldn't you just cut him at the end of the year, save the salary? What are they saving this year? I thought it was pretty negligible from a money standpoint.
Oh, it's like $1 or $2 million.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I saw $1 million
yeah.
and some change.
Yeah, it's nothing. It's,
so you also have to factor in Goody values sure picks, but he doesn't even seventh rounders don't always make the roster.
No, but you know what seventh rounders are good for, Joshy? Packaging.
Mr. Irrelevant.
Moving
yeah.
up.
Into the sixth round?
Well, I'm just saying, you just throw it on the back end of a trade or you throw it on, like, you know, he likes having those little side things.
But
sweeteners
you're
is what they are,
a guy
too.
Away
sweeteners.
Who is yeah. He traded a guy on the team that
he
was leading in sacks.
He got a package of Splenda? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying
we traded Preston
round
Smith.
Pick.
For Splenda.
Yes, they're sweet. Yeah. You know
at
where you throw something in?
Something.
You throw something in to make a deal happen. You know, somebody comes to
yeah.
your garage sale and they want to buy the old Victrola, but they're not really sure on it. And you're going, hey, I'll throw in that Donald Driver helmet that's been sitting in my garage for a while. You know what I mean? It's a sweetener.
Yeah.
Sweetens the deal. So a couple of things I want to, again, we talked about how Goody, I think he values that seventh round pick. Does he value it highly? No, not as much, obviously, as a first round pick, et cetera, et cetera. So I think he values that. I think he is giving guys a long leash to develop. We heard that a number of times from him yesterday, guys. to the point of there was a transition with the defensive scheme, right? Bringing Halfley and switching, which might also, by the way, contribute to Preston Smith's lack of production, right? Wasn't he better in the other? Now, again, him covering wide receivers notwithstanding, speedy wide receivers notwithstanding, did it feel like he was better in the old scheme than in this scheme, Gabe?
I think he was just kind of the same guy in both. I mean, I guess he was a little more productive last year in terms of the overall number of sacks that he had, but I don't know. Like, the last few years, like, Preston Smith has been a guy. Yeah, he had 8 sacks last year, 2.5 through 9 games this year. But I don't want to hear any more about the scheme is the reason they're struggling. I really don't want to hear it. I heard it from Goody yesterday. I don't want to hear it anymore, man. Like, they have come up. I don't know what more excuses you could come up with for why this defensive line isn't productive. Between chipping and teams who change schemes and players who change, it's amazing anybody ever gets a sack. Like, anytime you see somebody get a sack, the Packers should probably be, like, getting on their knees thanking God that somebody overcame all the obstacles to get a sack in the NFL. It is unbelievable the amount of excuses we are willing to make for this defensive line and the way they're underperforming.
Okay, but why is Goody doing that then? Why can't he just come out and say they're not good enough?
Because he drafted and paid him?
Because he can't do anything. Yeah.
There's Look, you got to cover you for your guys to an extent. See any but like, value in... I mean,
if you admitted it was a problem, you would have meetings. To say why didn't you go get someone then?
Yeah, why didn't you try to address it?
If you were to
it?
Say this was an issue and we're not good enough, then everyone says, well, you traded someone away. What the hell?
100%. It just doesn't, I can't make it make sense.
Well, the next line of this
comes down to, I hate to say it. This is just bad first round picks. I'm sorry. They're just bad. Eric Stokes, bad. Quay Walker turning out to be bad. Devontae Wyatt, for where he is drafted, not a good pick. Certainly Rashawn Gary, not a good pick. That's four first round picks on your defense that grossly underperform. You're not going to be good.
Yeah, I just don't. Like, how long realistically, Chu?
I mean, don't forget
can
Lucas
we put
Van
it on
Ness.
The poll?
Yeah. But realistically, Chu, how long should it take you to get used to it?
I'm giving him one more year and more snaps. I think he can turn it around.
Okay, Goody, now you're on the same page.
But
congratulations.
Can we poll it, Joshy, and I don't know how to say it, but 9 games into the season, do you believe the Packers' defense was bad in the past because of the players or Joe Barry Carroll? Because I'm starting to lean heavily, and I think Joe Barry Carroll is not a defensive coordinator, but I'm really leaning towards these players are just average at best.
I mean, a handful of them are. Yeah. Like, part of it certainly is Joe Barry, but I think...
I mean,
yeah.
They already have more turnovers than they had all of 50-50? Last year.
50-50?
No, it's... I mean, the players aren't... The players are definitely an issue.
But most of them by a guy he brought in free agency.
Well, you also have to factor in that the players he had have... Two of them have gotten worse and less productive with Rashawn Gary and Kenny Clark.
They're who's that?
Basically non-factors who were better last year, and it wasn't even that great.
Lots of reaction rolling in this morning, guys, as you would expect. RJ from Atlanta says, I'm fine with the trade. Preston wasn't playing well. It opens up rotation, and I'm fine with Goody making a big move. I guess not making a big move. Unless you can get a high-level young CB or edge, I don't want an old, washed-up veteran. Fair? That's fair.
No, I think it's fair. If you didn't want to pay the going price for Marshawn Lattimore, I get that. I 100% understand.
Or, again, the guy from the Giants, Olajari.
Yeah, if you wanted to give up a fourth-round pick, because that guy would have just been a rental. He's got this is the last year of his contract. If you didn't want to give up that, I understand. I don't understand. Like, clearly the coaching staff, okay, it opens up more things. What is it? Who was Preston Smith blocking? Who is playing so incredibly well that the coaching staff was going, nope, we're playing Preston Smith instead? I'm waiting for any sort of answer because he wasn't blocking anyone. If Lucas Van Ness was playing that great, guess what he would have done? He would have had more snaps than Preston Smith.
Starting.
If Engabare was playing that great, he'd be getting more snaps
than
Preston Smith.
Well, but now there's no excuse. Like, now Lucas Van Ness has to start showing up. Now he has to be more productive. He has to have a breakout second half of the season. And maybe he will be able to point to, Smith, he's jamming me up. I couldn't get, you know, the reps I needed to get better, to evolve and progress and all of those things. Maybe. Like, let's cross our fingers, cross our toes, cross our eyes, and hope that's the reality.
So then isn't that an indictment on the coaching staff?
I'm just saying that's the only thing today, Gabe, that I am going to look forward to given the move that was made yesterday.
Look, and I think that as a fan, I don't think I'm going to be able to tell much of a difference with Preston Smith and Van Ness and Engabari in there. It's all negligible, but it's an issue, and you made the team worse by getting rid of one of your rotational guys.
I think that's a really interesting position. I did not wake up this morning thinking the Packers got worse, but Gabe, you're making an excellent point. And again, you think they got worse last year as well when they traded away Razul. Now, the proof is in the pudding. They were actually much better in the second half of last season. Do you see that as being a possibility this year that even with this move, where today, this morning, what even date is it? The 7th? Are we at the 6th? The November 6th. Is it possible for them to still do what they did last year and put together a strong second half of the season?
Absolutely, because they played well in the second half of the season, not because their cornerbacks balled out, because Jordan Love did. And a lot of this comes down to Jordan. Like, if Jordan you know, gets back to what he was in those last 8 games last year, cuts down on the turnovers, has the big plays, then it's going to be, you know, the team is going to be good. They're going to be fine. But the defensive line, we've talked about it all year. This, to me, is the potential Achilles heel of this team. Of the lack of production that they have. When you're going up against the Detroit Lions, when you're going up against the Vikings, potentially the Niners as they get healthier, like when you're going up against those really good teams in the postseason, you need a really good front four, and they just don't have it.
800-990-3776. Keep getting us your reaction this morning to the Packers trading away Preston Smith to the Steelers. They did not get anybody at the trade deadline, and Gabe is saying they got worse by trading away a veteran who was playing 54% of the snaps. We'll take a break, continue this conversation, and we're going to get to Jordan Love, because Goody weighed in on him yesterday as well, and very interesting what he told us about how he measures his progress as well. Ooh, boy, stick around.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I thought that they hear their name when it's non-scheduled, that's what they want to hear.
I could hear Ashley laughing in the background.
Am I right or wrong?
He's not wrong. Hey, he's not wrong. He's not wrong.
He is wrong.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Bettors, if you aren't making your wagers at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel Milwaukee, you are missing out on an elite experience. Honestly, it is a complete sports betting paradise. State-of-the-art venue with dozens of self-service kiosks, seating for more than 200 people, a first-class bar and restaurant, a VIP deck, and a broadcast booth. Plus, don't forget, kind of burying the lead here, Jen, a 2,000-square-foot video wall where you can watch all of the games. If you're short on time, they have free 20-minute parking as well. They have really figured it out. Bet above the rest only at Pottawatomie. Am I the only living soul around? Keep getting us your reaction to the news that the Green Bay Packers traded away Preston Smith yesterday, going to the Steelers for a 7th-round pick. Brent saying on the YouTube stream, sacks aren't the end-all of saying whether a player or a defense is good. There are other stats that confirm the defense is better than last year. Gabe, your rebuttal?
What do defensive ends and pass rushers get paid for? Like, well, ultimately, what do they get paid for?
Are we going to do this thing this morning where you ask questions and nobody answers? There's just silence on the air.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just a general question. Chewy, you know what do pass rushers get paid for? Is Reggie White the greatest pass rusher of all time because he got a lot of pressures? You guys won the Super Bowl 31 because he got 3 key pressures. No, he got home. He sacked the bleeping quarterback. Come on.
How about Chewy going, sacks?
Sacks.
Come on.
I would take salad on this team over any of the pass rushers they have right now. Sean Jones.
What was his?
And that guy used to practice in street clothes.
Well, he put his sweats on over the street clothes.
Yeah.
So he had that going
for him.
What
an endorsement, Gabe.
Well, I want all the facts to be out there.
Let me get to more comments before we get to Adam Schefter. I don't like this trade deadline, says Craig in the 443. They got worse. Maybe Goody wants Cooper and Hopper in there. Again, linebackers.
Yeah.
Maybe Quay can move to edge rusher and give the green dot to someone else. Dave weighing in saying, Johnny Raincloud wouldn't be happy no matter what they did. It's getting tiresome. Team got worse, Traded Preston, who has been doing nothing this year at the end of his career, and got a pick for him instead. You guys said the same thing last year when they got rid of Douglas. Did it hurt them, Goody knows what he is doing. I will tell you this, guys. There are a lot of people out there who think that Goody doesn't know what he's doing. I read it on the text chain every single morning.
Wouldn't you like to have Russell Douglas this year?
Yes.
I mean, again, it made sense last year. Made more sense because you actually got something of value.
If we're going to do that sliding doors moment, then we do need to go back and see what they got for the pick that they got from the Bills. And who was it?
Tyron Hopper, who has not played a single defensive snap and has only played special teams.
But they do say that he has potential to be good. I know potential. I know prospects. Haven't done bleep.
Yeah, I mean, he's made such a difference on the defense this year.
Brett says, it sounds like you guys are making Preston
this
Smith
is what
into
the people
Josh
can't, this
Hader.
Is, I know, but this is what people can't understand, all right? If our expectations were just to make it to the playoffs, get there, and be happy with getting there, it's not. Mine and Gabe's expectation is to win a Super Bowl. So if you can't look at this thing objectively and you look at it through your rose-colored glasses and sit there and go, this defense is really good, then I have no time for you, okay? Because this team right now is getting to the playoffs the way they're playing, maybe win one game and then lose the second game, okay? We want them to win all the games. So if you want to call us Johnny Raincloud, that's fine. But at the end of the year, just put it in your little notebook that says, you know what? You guys were right. You want to listen to fuzzy shows? It's down the road, okay? If you want smoke up your butt again, down the road, okay? I know what it takes to win a Super Bowl, okay? I know what it takes, okay? This isn't Johnny Raincloud. This is trying to help a team get better, and I'm telling you which players are going to help this team get better. All right, so the Johnny Raincloud and stuff, our expectations are high. And if you sit here and go, oh, they're playing like a Super Bowl team, they're definitely here, they're 4 in the power rankings, then have fun with it, okay? Just have fun with it.
Chewy, we're going to take a break.
When's the last time you had smoke up your butt?
Objectively.
Okay. Speaking of down the dial, okay? That's a topic for down the dial somewhere, okay? Not here on ESPN Milwaukee.
You said it. You said questions.
We have high standards. Well, we don't, but we pretend to.
Did I get my point across?
I think you did, Chu. Yes. We got to get to break because we got to get to Adam Schefter, but I appreciate your perspective on all things. I think we will. Johnny Raincloud is a trigger. You guys get real fired up when you hear Johnny.
Stop it, everyone. Shut up. Let's go to break.
Thank you, Joshy. We'll be right back after this.
Everyone's go-to source for all NFL news.
And we're going to get right to some breaking news here that just came down. This tweet from Adam Schefter.
Adam's on the phone. Adam, yeah, you have more news? What do you got?
They're going with another move.
And here is the man who knows all, Adam Schefter.
It's ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter.
Initially, I was told from the jump, 3 to 4 weeks. I was told initially that the games that were most likely for him to come back were either the Vikings in week 4 or the Rams in week 5.
Adam Schefter on JGC is sponsored by Island Resort and Casino, gaming, casual, and fine dining. 2 golf courses, a luxury spa, and live entertainment. Your total experience is at the Island.
All right. Trade deadline has come and gone, and Adam Schefter joins us to break it all down. Good morning, Adam. How are you today? I know you got to hear that little rant there by our guy, Chu. Did it get you fired up a little bit this morning?
Yeah. Good morning, Jen, Gabe, and Johnny Raincloud. Nice to be with you all today.
He's applying my nickname to Chewy.
Can he hear us?
Yeah, you hear me?
Yeah, we've got you. I don't know if Chewy can hear you.
I think Chewy lost his internet.
I was going to say, he's staring off into the distance. Yeah. I wondered if, that's unfortunate.
Or he didn't find any humor in what I had to say.
Yeah. You know what he did? He shut it off. He was like, screw this. All right, so we just need to know, did you hear the Packers come up in any of the conversations? Obviously, they traded away Preston Smith to the Steelers for a 7th-round pick. There were some people in Packers community who thought maybe that was a setup piece for another move. That never came. Did you hear the Packers' name at all yesterday besides that move?
No, that was the one thing I heard later in the day, is that they were trading him, and I never heard that they were close to getting anybody else. Now, again, I want to say that sometimes stories emerge the week after the trade deadline. You'll hear, oh, this team was talking to this player, this team was close to getting that guy. I mean, that happens all the time. It'll happen this week, I guarantee, on the Sunday morning shows. There'll be reports about how this team was zeroing in on this player and a deal is almost done. But I never heard, and it doesn't mean it didn't happen, but I did hear anything about Green Bay getting close in that regard.
I mean, what they did was an interesting move, though, Adam, to me, trading away Preston Smith, who's been a starter, who's played the second most snaps at a position. I mean, how often have you seen a team trade away a starter when they are 6-3 in hot in playoff contention?
Well, I think that they felt like they weren't going to bring him back, and I think what that tells you is they must believe in their young guys, and they think that it's time to get them on the field, and they probably believe in the upside of those young guys as much as they believed in what Preston Smith could bring them during the stretch run, which is why they made the move. Get back something, clear out the salary, save money, get the young guys on the field, and start the process moving along.
We lost Chewy again. He was back. Now he's gone again.
He's frozen now.
Yeah, he's having some technical difficulties there. I guess the question, so Gabe.
You know what it is? He must have smoke up his butt that's frozen everywhere.
See, I told you he heard that segment. I told you he was listening. Maybe. That could be it. I don't know. So Gabe was saying that, like, it would be fair to say that the Packers got worse this morning. Or yesterday, by trading away a player like Preston Smith, who has 54% of the snaps at that position, who is a veteran leader on a notoriously young team. I think the guys even crunched the numbers yesterday and said, once again, they are the youngest team in the league. Meanwhile, Adam, you got other teams in the NFC who got better by adding pieces. This doesn't feel like a great morning to be a Green Bay Packers fan.
Well, I don't, listen. I give the Packers the benefit of the doubt. They've made enough good moves on that roster to know what works and what doesn't work. And if they're moving on from Preston Smith to get the young pass rushers on the field, they must know that those guys have the potential to bring more to the defense than they believe Preston Smith could have down the stretch. They don't make that move if they feel like it makes them a worse team for a 7th-round draft pick. They're not doing that. So clearly, if and when we get explanations from them, I'm telling you that they have to believe that those guys are going to step in and be better than they would have been if they hadn't made that move.
Yeah, I mean, then wouldn't they have just been playing over Preston Smith to begin with? Like, I have a hard time believing that somebody's
just
playing.
Bench him?
Yeah, I mean, if he's a part of the rotation.
Well, by the way, You bench him. Now you got a player that's not happy there. You're creating a different locker room dynamic. There's other issues at play. And you know what? Sometimes veterans, the phrase that I've always heard, that, you know, veterans become progress stoppers. And they stop the progress of these young guys. And so let's see what these young guys do. And let's revisit this, right, at the end of the regular season. And let's see if the defense falls off or gets a little bit better.
I guess I'm not expecting much of a difference because Preston Smith hasn't been a contributor, but I trust the coaching staff, Shefty. I trust the coaching staff that has decided to put him out there as a starter and give him the second most snaps at defensive end.
But you're saying he hasn't been much of a contributor, right?
Yeah, well, that's so Lucas Van
production.
Yeah, Lucas Van Ness has been blocked one-on-one by a backup tight end multiple times this season, so I'm not expecting a lot from him.
Okay, well, we're going to find out, right? Because obviously, I don't believe that they make that move if they feel like it makes their team worse today.
Sure, but
I don't believe
it. I think it makes it, well, it makes them worse. It certainly makes them worse today, Adam. I don't know if they can defend that. Now, does it give them potential to be better down the road? Certainly. But I have a hard time marrying together, like, oh, yeah, the guys they weren't playing are just going to step up and somehow be better. Like, okay, if they were that much better, they would have just played over Preston Smith to begin with.
You know, again, we're getting into a conversation that I'm not sophisticated enough. Honestly, like I'm not in that locker room and to be zeroing in on that one issue. So I'm only thinking of various other situations that I've covered through the years, and I think these decisions are not as simple as we're making them out to be. There's a lot more to them sometimes.
Well, Adam, let's get to this, though, because this is a space that you are good in. The seventh round pick. Some people look at it and scoff at it and say, what are you going to do with a seventh round pick? But I think that those are sweeteners. Seventh round picks are the things you throw in when you're either trying to move up in the draft or you're trying to make a deal and you go, we haven't gotten it to the finish line yet. Let's throw in the seventh round pick and then you're able to get the deal done. What is your perception of them getting a seventh round pick for Preston Smith?
They're giving him away is what they're doing. And I don't view it as much as the return, because you're not counting on a seventh-round pick coming in to make your roster. You're not counting on you being able to use that seventh-round pick to steal your phrases as sweetener. You have no idea what's going to come along. You're operating under the assumption that this is addition by subtraction. That's what it is. And it's not the addition of the seventh-round pick. It's the subtraction of Preston Smith. And I'm not trying to rag on him. Like, they know what they're getting out of him better than I do. And they know what they're going to be getting out of his replacements better than I do. But again, I'm going to keep leaning back on it because it has to be true. A team in their position isn't trading a guy that they believe is valuable for a seventh round pick in their stretch run if they don't believe that they have people that are going to more than adequately replace him. They're just not doing it. Why would they do that? There's a reason, okay? I don't have the exact reason for you other than to say there's a reason they're doing this. So clearly, I know Preston Smith is a big name. I know he's been a longtime contributor. I know he's been somebody who's meant a lot to the organization, but clearly they felt like they would not miss much if they moved on from him.
I would argue the biggest move yesterday made, Adam, was by the Lions in the Packers division, who the Packers just lost to. How much better do you think Za'Darius Smith makes Detroit?
He's a good player, and he's about as well as they could have done in lieu of the circumstances. And what's amazing is Cleveland reached out to Detroit after Aiden Hutchinson got hurt. And I think everybody knows about Aiden Hutchinson. But people sometimes forget that the Lions also lost Marcus Davenport, so they were down two defensive ends who basically started the season for them, and they needed to come up with somebody for the stretch run. Look, the Lions have still looked like, to me, the best team in football, even without Aiden Hutchinson. They look like a powerhouse. And there was no reason for that team not to give up what it did to get in some type of reinforcement. Do I think Za'Darius Smith is going to come in there and light the world on fire? No. Do I think he's going to provide production and reliability? Yes. Do I think that when people get to go into a organization like that, the way that they're operating and the way that they're playing, it seems like it gets the best out of most everybody. That usually is the case. And Za'Darius Smith, you knew him in Green Bay. We know him in Minnesota. You didn't seem terribly concerned last week when I brought that up to you, the prospect that he was going to wind up in Detroit that didn't seem to bother anybody there very much.
And well, that's because there was no chance the Packers were going to trade for him, right? Like the way things ended
here. Yeah, because he burned a bridge pretty bad here in Green Bay, so it wasn't like the Packers
bridge,
were in
the castle. Anything that he could burn, he did.
What did he do? What did he do at the end of his time in Green Bay there that left you all with a bad taste in your mouth?
So he
it's not
was,
so much us as it was like the front office and the coaching staff and the other players. But go ahead, Gabe.
His last year, he was not elected a captain. He was pretty tore up by that, was pretty upset by it. Decided to purchase, you know, the C that they put on the jersey, Adam? He bought a diamond-encrusted pendant that he could wear around his neck that had that C on him. So he declared himself basically saying, hey, I know I'm a captain. And then there were some wonderings of, did he quit on the team? Because he didn't play it. He barely played the final year. I think he played the first game, then decided to sit out the rest of the season with a back injury.
Huh? So obviously he left some people there for the Betis. Again, when I brought up his name last week, nobody seemed terribly bothered that he would wind up with the Detroit Lions.
I feel like it was just a foregone conclusion at that point, given the Aiden Hutchinson injury and what they needed to supplement at that position.
It's funny. When I spoke to both teams at one point, various points, and this had to be 2.5 weeks ago, and I hung up the phone from one of those conversations. I said to myself, I said, Darius Smith is going to be the Detroit Lion. I don't know when this is happening, but this is going to happen. And it just took, I think, longer to get to that point because both teams were dragging their feet for various reasons on compensation, Browns wanting more, Lions wanting to give up less. Even Monday afternoon, I had heard that the two sides were encountering more issues. There were some challenges in getting the deal done. And then ultimately, in the end, what is Cleveland waiting on? They have to make the move. They got two wins. They're not going anywhere. Trade the guy away. And they were able to come up with the package. Surprise, surprise, on the deadline day, because that's what happens, is the deadline spurs people into action, and it did there. And Za'Darius Smith winds up in Detroit, and I believe he'll be productive there.
Last thing for you, Adam, before we let you go, because we're having such a good time with you. Are you seeing a youth movement across the league? I'm not obtuse enough to believe that the Packers represent everything that goes on in every single franchise. Packers obviously are an anomaly, not having an owner, the only team in the league that does not have an owner to answer to. But it does seem like Goody and company are putting a premium on youth. And anytime, I saw a great joke yesterday that said something like, Brian Gutekunst is the NFL's Leonardo DiCaprio. Once you're 30, he doesn't want you anymore. It's pretty good pop. It's pretty good pop. Are you seeing that across the league, or is that something that's more exclusive to Green Bay and the way Goody is building his rosters?
Well, I think it could be a little bit more exclusive to him, but I think it's true for everybody. Because the fact of the matter is, when you're paying players like Jordan Love, the contracts you have to offset them with cheap rookie contracts. And so you're looking for these guys to come in on these rookie deals, and you have to balance out your roster with rookie contracts. And there have to be rookies, young players, who can come in and contribute. You can't have a roster full of Jordan Loves and Josh Jacobs and players you're paying, because it is not financially doable nor sustainable. So there have to be people that come in on the lower price contract. So I think everybody is looking for youth. Maybe there's a bit more emphasis on it in Green Bay with them having to pay their quarterback the way they are. But everybody's looking for it, and they've been good enough as an organization to find good, young, talented players to be able to make the roster. So it's a credit to them that they've had the eye for the talent like Leonardo DiCaprio has had.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Stuck the landing.
Talented. All right, Adam. Have a great one. We'll talk to you again soon.
Tell Chewy good luck getting the smoke out of his butt today, okay?
All right, well, most certainly will. We'll pass it along.
It looks like he just got back on the stream, so he heard you say that. That's amazing. Thanks, Adam.
Thanks, everybody. Have a great week.
Adam Schefter, each and every week, brought to us by our friends at the Island Resort and Casino. It's a premier resort destination, the largest north of Milwaukee, with everything you like to do in one awesome location. So visit islandresortandcasino.com and book your total experience today.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What was a rebound? Rebound? What'd you just say?
Robust.
Robust.
You could say robust. Rebound. Doesn't robust sound like a nice word of saying just a click below fat?
No, buddy, you're not fat.
Well,
you're rebound.
Well, Charles Barkley.
There's another
round mound of rebound.
On 94.5 ESPN. Just let me cry a little bit longer.
Any of Adam Schefter's appearance here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, like Chewy, who missed the whole appearance because he's having internet issues at his house, you can always find it on Wisconsin On Demand, wherever you get your podcast. Look, it was not just the Preston Smith move that Goody discussed yesterday. He also discussed his quarterback, Jordan Love, because fairly, the reporters in that room asked Goody about the performance of Jordan Love so far this season. And we're going to get to this in the second hour of the show. But Gabe, to me, that was another, again, I have said this before. I like Goody. I think he's good at his job. I don't want this to come across as some sort of whole indictment of the GM of the Green Bay Packers. But it felt to me again like he was making excuses for his QB.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I like Goody. I think he's done a good job. I don't agree with everything he's ever done. And yeah, he stepped up in kind of the same way that Matt LaFleur has kind of just made excuses of, oh yeah, we don't have a problem. This part has to get better. Everybody understands that. But I think everybody's on the same page when it comes to Jordan. Can't turn the ball over 10 times in the number of games that you've played. Can't be leading the league in interceptions despite missing 2.5 games.
And what we're going to get to in the second hour of the show was Goody gave a very interesting and sort of finite deadline-ish of when he expects to see improvement from a brand new quarterback. And, well, wouldn't you know it, we are right about to hit that mark. We are just about there. We are going to cross through that threshold any moment, any start from now. And that was also interesting from Goody yesterday. And now you were saying, and we're going to get to it again in the second hour of the show, this is sort of a prolonged tease, but what a coincidence that when he expects Jordan to get better.
What a wild, crazy happenstance. The number he happened to throw out very much coincides with the number that Jordan Love's currently at. Crazy.
We're going to take a break on Jed Gabachewy. We'll get into Brian Gutekunst's comments on Jordan Love's performance so far this season and hopefully try to get the big guy back right after this.